Oh, yeah.
Cool. Hey guys. So it's Nick and Ethan here. We'll be discussing a little bit of Doom 3, which was directed by Vijay Acharya. It's a classic Bollywood movie, and it is based in the United States, and it has some really interesting points as to external perceptions of the United States. So Ethan and I are excited to share with you guys a little bit more of what we discovered, but Ethan will kind of kick this off by explaining some of the background to this movie.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. So like Nick said, Doom 3, it's the third in the series. Doom 1 and Doom 2 were super popular Bollywood movies. Doom 2 set the record for, set one of the records for highest box office opening in India. It was directed by Vijay Acharya, like Nick said. And the film series as a whole follows officers Jay and Ali. And as we'll talk about in a minute, that's really interesting because they're not actually super central characters in Doom 3. The popularity of the kind of the film series as a whole is really related to its portrayal of several young, wealthy Indians who can roam the world, you know, no familial ties, kind of do whatever they want, fast cars, all that kind of good stuff. Doom 2 in particular was a really big step. Kind of marked this level of like consumerism and glamour now possible for India's upper class. But the film was really popular with a lot of people. And part of that probably has to do with the fact that it offered just a little bit of like an escape. You know, you see people who are doing all these things that maybe you want to do and you can't. And so that was part of the reason why it got so successful. You know, it's been critiqued a little bit on that point too. That it's like trying too hard to be American or something like that. But funny enough, a lot of those critiques are actually from American viewers. And so the fact that the film is so successful in India kind of points to some maybe differences in perception there. But yeah, I think now we can get into the plot and start digging into it.
Yeah, for sure. So with that kind of context in mind, you'll probably definitely hear a lot of overlap between your classic American films and this plot, but kind of diving in exactly to what happens in this movie, it kind of opens up with this young Indian boy named Sahir and his father who are performing at the circus in front of a banker with the chance of having the banker sponsor the circus. Unfortunately, the banker rejects their act, and the father, in an act of desperation, ends up actually killing himself in front of his son, Sahir. And we actually get a quick transition after this opening scene to Sahir growing up in Chicago. And now Sahir, an adult, is kind of living this double life where he's a circus performer by day and a thief by night. What's really interesting about this is that he's actually robbing the same bank that is owned by this banker that rejected him and his father as a kid. And later down the line, we see, as Ethan mentioned, these two critical officers to the series, Jai and Ali, kind of chase down Sahir throughout the movie. We get a little bit more context into this circus that Sahir performs at throughout the movie, as opposed to this double life of crime. He meets this girl named Aaliyah. And they become almost a couple in their circus performances, and they have these fabulous performances together. But what we eventually realize is that the only way that Sahir is actually able to perform all of these incredible tricks is because he has a secret identical twin brother who typically performs the other side. So it makes it seem as if he's doing absolutely magical things on stage. What we eventually see as these twins kind of develop their relationship with each other throughout the film is that Aaliyah, this performer with them, causes some tension to develop between them, drawing the friends apart as Samar, the typically hidden one, actually wants to get out of the shadow and kind of take Aaliyah on a date. And that's kind of the first half of that plot. And Ethan's going to kind of explain how things come together.
Yeah. And that tension is kind of important that we'll come back to, but that sets up, you know, kind of the second half of the movie, like Nick said, and, you know, the details aren't super important, but the gist of it is, you know, this tension builds, it comes to a head, they essentially, like, separate a little bit, Samar decides to go on a date with Aaliyah, gets ambushed by Jay, You know, spoiler alert, and yet another twist, it's actually Sahir on the date. You know, craziness ensues. They end up planning their final heist together, and it ends up, they end up getting caught almost. They're running out of the city, and a kind of a powerful last scene. Sahir bargains his life for his brother's safety, but then they leap off the bridge together, and it's kind of left a little ambiguous. And the last scene that we're left with is the bank closing. And so that kind of brings it, really brings it full circle. And it's actually really convenient because that bank ties into some really important points, I think for both Nick and I in the film. So Nick, if you wanna get us started on those.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've discussed a little bit in the past, a couple of the ideas we think that Doom 3 is trying to say from an external perspective on the US. But after a lot of discussion, Ethan and I kind of agreed that the main point of Doom 3 is a movie about American freedom, and both the positives and negatives that come along with that freedom, in the form of greed and capitalism, and familiar relationships. So a couple of points that we wanted to touch on first is, first and foremost, how freedom actually plays a role in this movie, and kind of go from there to transition to discuss how this freedom can actually lead to a lot of greed in a capitalist society. And then thirdly, we want to talk a little bit about how this greed can actually force interesting dynamics in relationships between people throughout this movie as well. So we'll kind of dive right into those three, starting with the classic idea of American freedom throughout Doom 3.
Yeah, I can get started on that one. You know, this is something that I think I noticed. It's something that resonated with me pretty quickly in the movie. And an idea that we've talked about a little bit is the idea of like a sandbox, and how, you know, America is a sandbox. You know, in this film, it's portrayed as if, you know, they can do whatever they want, and repercussions are really just what you make them. So, you know, Sahir performs these like crazy stunts to get away from the cops. You know, he's like jumping over bridges. He's doing these fast motorcycle chases down tunnels and things like that. And so, you know, those are like classic American action tropes, but they're also representing this idea that, you know, he's robbing banks and getting away with it. And it's almost easy. You know, he's not getting caught because he doesn't want to get caught. You know, Sahir himself even talks about how he like turns the city into his circus. You know, his stunts around the city are just like his stunts in a circus. So that kind of plays in the idea of the city being a place where Sahir is like free to make it what he wants. But also that, you know, he is almost free from repercussion. It's like his circus, it's like his city. And so that analogy kind of becomes a little clearer, that living in the US, provides a lot of freedom and some, you know, unpredictability that almost makes it like a circus. But I think that freedom point is really something that resonated with me. I think Nick had like a little bit of a different thing going on though. So
absolutely. I think it's really interesting to Ethan's point about how this freedom can really drive exceptional things to happen across the U.S. However, I personally had more of a pessimistic view of this freedom throughout the movie. So kind of going on to that point too that I mentioned, I think that this freedom has the potential to drive some negative aspects like greed, especially in a capitalist society like this. I think that's most clear through the development of the antagonist, who is the banker in this film. And we see that Sahir, who has all this newfound freedom, has to be very responsible with how he uses it. And his choice in this movie is to use this freedom to fight capitalism, to fight greed in America. So that's a really interesting take on how America will actually allow individuals to develop and what they will make out of this freedom. However, we also see even more greed throughout Sahir and Samar themselves as they go about this journey of fighting capitalism. So my point with all of this is that yes, capitalism and freedom in America will lead to greed, but it's not necessarily as easy as being the good guy or the bad guy, because even Sahir and Samar with respect to this love they have for Aaliyah can cause them, can cause their own relationships to be destroyed. So with all of this freedom, you have to be very careful because greed can quickly, quickly slip in as well. But there are definitely other points as to character development that that kind of are developed throughout throughout this movie as well.
Yeah. And I think that, like Nick said, you know, I had a little bit more of an optimistic viewing at first. So when we talked about it, I thought that was like a really interesting contrast. And I think once we started talking about it a little bit more, you know, in preparation for this, I think one of the things we both connected to, you know, initially saw, but then connected both of our feelings on the movie to, was this idea of like a split identity. And so, you know, that's a common experience for a lot of people in the U.S., and especially people who immigrate to the U.S., you know, whether it's kind of assimilating or keeping your cultural identity, but also just generally, I think we see that, you know, the capitalism and greed can kind of be a catalyst for such identity crises. And in the film, it's pretty literal. You know, you have Sahir and Samar, they're twins, they're played by the same actor, they're almost the same person, except, you know, Sahir lives in the spotlight and Samar does not. He lives in the shadows. And, you know, Sahir is really only able to complete the tricks and stuff that he does because of Samar. And so the fact that those two identities are kind of relying on each other, I think, is a really good point. You know, the identity that's put forth might, you know, look glamorous and look like it's all put together, but really what might be on the inside is, you know, really distraught, or there's a lot of conflict going on. And like I said earlier, that kind of greed and stuff can just be a catalyst. So, you know, it's hard to live only one life in America, like kind of they're showing, and they're just very dependent on each other. Absolutely. You know, had they, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. And I think kind of to wrap this up a little bit, summarizing those three points that we just discussed, we think that it all kind of is rooted in that idea of freedom, and how there's so much responsibility that comes with that freedom, that all parts of your life will actually be touched. So whether it is how you're going to spend that freedom, are you going to be greedy? Is it going to impact the relationships you have with the people around you? How are you going to treat others? These are all questions that come up throughout Doom 3, and they're all rooted in the extraordinary amount of freedom that people have in lives in the U.S. So we think the movie does a great job of developing these external impressions of the U.S. And does a great job at developing its characters throughout the course of the movie. So those are some of the three things that we thought were the most interesting insights from the movie. But we are so happy you guys kind of stayed with us and kind of listened along. So if there's anything else, Ethan, that you have.
I think I just, you know, like Nick said, gotta echo all of it. I think it's, you know, definitely give it a watch. I think it has some good stuff to say about like the immigrant experience, you know, the positives, like we talked about with freedom, you know, the negatives like greed. And it's really just a case of binaries that get set up. But yeah, I think that's all we got. You know, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you guys. And I guess we'll see you soon. All right.